Views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
This program has been paid for by my Philly lawyer.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you. Welcome to the show. Oh, yeah. Wow, that was like the most bizarre lead-in to this show that we've had in a while. Somebody will get spanked later. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I am Dean Weitzman, your host. This is Court Radio, and we're here for you. Give us a call, 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal in Philly.
Guess who else is here?
And beyond. I don't know. I can't see him.
Listen, there is tons of traffic in South Florida.
Demolition. Yeah.
I want to just
you
give
can't
you,
get out of South Florida.
I want to
get on the road.
There's tons of get up earlier.
Yeah,
I got up early.
Thank you. We are now in summer season. There's festivals and whatnot. People coming to buy things.
Yo, this is
figure it out.
This is 250. You gotta have to change your traffic.
It's easy for one to say. When one doesn't live in Point Breeze and one lives in that area where he lives,
well,
where
listen,
there are native communities and private contractors who
don't
have to worry about these closures and street closures and demolitions and EMTs blocking the street just to get to the expressway. But I digress.
Okay. We are going to talk about something which is quite tragic, actually. There, if you're not living under a rock, you know in Philly we had a parking garage collapse reminiscent of the parking garage collapse in Atlantic City many, many years ago. They were in the midst of constructing this seven-story structure next to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. According to all reports to date, there's one death and two unaccounted for workers presumed to have died. They've not been able to get to them, find them, because the garage structure has been deemed so dangerous. But today, finally, they will begin to remove the rubble and hopefully find these two gentlemen.
So let me just say this. The neighborhood is full of demolition crews everywhere in South Philadelphia. I've never seen this many dump trucks. I've never seen this many earth movers. There is a huge crane with a giant demolition ball, and there's people coming around to spectate to see, to try to watch this. But the thing I heard yesterday was from Adam Teal was, there are still remains. And they want to show those folks dignity before they do anything. They want to make sure they got the remains of those two final individuals out so they can demolish this thing. There's a meeting at Vera Recreation Center right now, two blocks from my house, where all the city officials are there. This thing is really huge, and it's sad and really tragic.
It is. The questions now begin to be posed. Who's at fault? Did anybody cause the death of these three individuals? And the answer remains to be seen. But there's always a cause. And the question is, who's the responsible party? And
that's going to take a long time to weed through, because
it will.
Oh, there's a lot.
Yes.
It will take some time. But you really, until they unearth the remains of the two missing people, it's going to be a question at this point. Rest assured that they will get the answers. there will be forensic studies done of what caused this catastrophic failure. And once that's determined, then we'll know who's to blame. Who could have prevented this loss? I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because in the end, we want to make sure that we learn from these events and that they don't happen again. And in order to do that, we have to look at every piece of that garage that went in before the collapse.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
that was brushed back to this thing from day one.
Why? Political?
neighborhood? The neighborhood.
Yeah.
They thought they were seeing things. They said, wait, this is happening rather fast. What's going on here? And before they could get answers, things were going up. So there was always brushback from day one.
According to the mayor, Mayor Parker has said that there were 8 permits properly issued. All the inspections were up to date. That may be, but something was missed. Somewhere along the line, something was missed. Done improperly, we need to get answers. 215-227-2727. When you have legal needs, that's the number to call. Even if we at My Philly Lawyer don't handle the particular problem you have, we will do our very best to find that attorney in this world we live in that is going to be able to handle it properly.
You know who works at CHOP?
Who?
Keenan.
Ah.
No.
Morning, Keenan.
Who was going to be using this parking garage? What was this parking garage?
I believe it's for their employees. That's what I heard or read. Yeah.
Okay.
But that would have to definitely be private. There's a lot of parking on that block because of the shopping center across the street. There's a pet place next door. There's a lot of places to park. But it sounds like they were building this specifically for CHOP employees.
The question is, if you were in this garage but got out safely, or if you lived nearby and were not injured in the loss, do you have a lawsuit? Can you bring a claim? And this really goes back to that general question, who's entitled to bring a claim in any matter? And it's always going to be somebody who can demonstrate some damage, right? In order to have a claim, a bona fide claim, you need to have some damages. Almost being injured is not damages. Almost being injured. I could have been killed is a refrain I hear a lot from folks. That lacks a critical element of any claim or case that an attorney would bring. You need to have negligence, right? But that negligence has to have caused damage. And it maybe it's psychological damage.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
The trauma from the occurrence.
But that's damage. But it then needs, you need to have documentation of that loss. So if all you've done is had a fright, but you don't need to go to a psychologist and it doesn't impact your life, you can't demonstrate.
Can't function normally.
Then it's not really damages. Okay. It's not really damages.
Is that tough to prove?
It is not tough to prove if you seek out and get the proper medical care through psychologists.
Right.
It's not because that forms the basis for everything after that. If it impacts your ability to make a living, you need to have a psychologist who can support your claim of psychiatric or psychological impact and how it has then caused ripple effects in your life. But you need to have that critical, because that really requires an expert to make that determination and to prove that piece of your claim.
Okay. Someone raised this. I saw this yesterday. Who would want to park in that garage now? psychologically, it could affect anyone's. I'm not going there. Someone died there, or it's too risky. I'm not going. You get that type of thing.
So that's happening now. So you're saying that they're just going to rebuild it?
We don't know what they're going to do, but that land was put aside for something. Something's just not going to go to waste. Something's going to be there eventually.
Eventually, this won't have the impact that many people feel today.
Right.
Time, as they say,
heals all wounds.
Yeah,
or you just forget.
Yeah. Like, do you know where the AC parking garage collapse was, where many, many more people died? Do you even know where it happened?
Was it by the convention center?
Maybe. But, you know.
Right. Okay.
You understand that.
Gotcha.
Right. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Joseph on line 2. Good morning, Joseph, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean and company. Dean, by you opening up your show with this tragic topic, it got me to thinking about whether or not, or really how our city has handled past collapses, building collapses, in the past. And it comes to mind not only the Atlantic City parking garage collapse, but the one at 21st and Market. And that leaves some speculation as to how the city handled it. But what I want to note is that, with all due respect, I thought our mayor came to the scene of where the parking garage collapse were, and she was quite clear as to who wasn't responsible. And she made it clear that Children's Hospital was working with her, and she mentioned all the other things. But when you get to the root of the cause, to your question, it makes one wonder, is our city able to handle these sudden and almost spontaneous collapses without putting any blame, giving it possibly the openness of it just being an accident? This could be more. And I'm just wondering if our city is up to par to handling it.
Yeah. Well, first off, I agree with you that the mayor was on the scene immediately and calming people and, doing her job. And we don't want to hear this. And she probably, maybe doesn't want to say this, but we really don't know why this collapsed. And the fact that there were permits issued and inspections done, there were permits issued. There were inspections done. Do we know if there was something missed in one of those inspections? No, we don't know that yet. We can't know that yet. And that's, that's the part where, people often, we, the people, want answers so fast, right away. And the truth of the matter is that it needs to take time, and experts need to get in there, and they need to look at nuts and bolts and, little things like that, which may have been a cause of the loss. And so we don't have all the answers. We will get them. I think that's what she could have said. Yes, there were inspections. We don't know if anything in those inspections were missed that should have been caught in time. But we're going to get answers. We're going to know what happened here, and we're not going to rest until we do. That's if I were the mayor, that's what I would have said. Not implied that everything was done properly, because we simply don't know that yet. And people need to take a moment, and as Manny said, we need to recover the bodies of the two lost iron workers, presumably, and give their family closure. Absolutely. Properly. And then we are going to get answers. And when we get those answers, those responsible will have to bear that loss. They're going to have to be accountable for that loss.
Will most of the losses be of a civil nature? Or will there be some criminal?
There's always the possibility nowadays of a criminal investigation that is kind of side by side with the civil. But the reason why we live in a safer world every day is because of the civil, not the criminal.
That's right.
The truth is that guys like me who bring lawsuits against companies and force them to take accountability and pay lots and lots and lots of money, that causes people to change their behavior. you will be safer. You know, your cars are safer. Your products are safer. Everything in this world is safer because of civil lawsuits.
Because what we learned, especially with the hair care thing, is people cut corners and will cut corners if they can get away with it.
Absolutely. Corporations want to make a profit above all else. The only reason corporations make less of a profit and make a safer product is because there's plaintiff's attorneys who will sue their pants off and make it economically unfeasible for them to operate in that fashion. That's it. I mean, there's no other reason. And it's not because the CEO may go to jail. He's not fearing he's going to jail or she's going to jail. They're fearing that their stock prices will go down because Weitzman's going to sue their ass off.
Oh, hear that. Then the stock prices go down. Then all the board members are ticked off. Then those meetings come around.
And then the CEO gets fired. Yeah. He or she is more concerned about losing his or her stock price and getting canned. 215-227-2727. Thanks, Joseph. Have a great Saturday.
Interesting. I'm reading some of these comments. You got folks that are traveling, staying in hotels. They're afraid to stay in the parking lots or park in the hotels. It's eerie.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I want the camera to pan when I do my shot.
Did he make it?
Yeah, of course I made it.
Yeah, but guess what? When he doesn't make it, he wants
edit.
Well, I've never, according to him, he's never missed. I've not seen one. I have to be honest.
Well,
have you missed?
Not usually. Not when I'm when I create the right ball. Right, it's all about creating the right
ride. Oh, yeah, gotcha. I got you.
It's got to have the right aerodynamics.
Is it straight in or is it off the wall, dude?
Yeah, well, that was straight in.
That's some shit.
Yeah, that was all net.
Swish.
All net. But speaking of criminal charges, right? This has become more common. Like, you know, not only do plaintiffs' attorneys. No, not only do you have to worry that you're going to get sued by a plaintiff's attorney, but you're also possibly going to be prosecuted. And especially on cases where there's really not an economic element to it, but there is a loss. And that is and involving a child. So when we start to bring the child into the play, there was a case that I wanted to talk about up in Zoo America, which is apparently a zoo at Hershey
Park. It's Hershey Park, yeah.
Yeah, never been there.
To Hershey Park?
Never.
Really?
I don't think so. Maybe when I was very young.
Yeah, even as a kid, the school trip?
I've lost that memory. No, not that I can recall.
Oh, okay.
Is it a nice place?
It was when I did.
I've been there within the past 15 years. It's nice.
Yep. As an amusement park, it's great. The chocolate factory.
Can you get a Hershey bar there?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well,
are you kidding? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Doesn't get any better than up there.
Maybe I'll take my kids up there this year.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's spotless, clean, like Disneyland clean.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Because when you go to that other place in Jersey.
Great Adventure?
Yeah. That's less than spotless clean.
No, not this is a whole theme. It's clean and chocolate and happiness. Yeah, it's Disneyland. I'm just saying.
You mean Great Ghetto?
All right. So.
I saw this, though. I was wondering.
Yeah. So there was a child, a 1.5-year-old toddler, that was being accompanied by his mom and dad. Okay, and there's so many aspects of this story that are interesting. Thank God the child didn't get seriously injured. But so mom and dad are in front of the wolf exhibit, and they go. Ooh. Their kid's standing at the fence line, and they go back. I don't know, about 25 or 30 feet, and sit down on a bench. And what do moms and dads do these days? They sat down and they opened up their phone. And each one of them, mom and dad, each have a phone, and they're each looking at their phones while their 1.5-year-old child is at the fence line.
Oh, come on.
The child squeaks through the fence. There's a perimeter area, and he gets up to the cyclone fence where the wolves are. And he sticks his little 1.5-year-old hand through the cyclone fence, and one of the wolves grabs his hand and bites.
Wolf's just being a wolf.
other people, not mom and dad, jump over and save the child. Mom and dad were just indicted for some sort of a misdemeanor, you know, probably stupidity. There's a stupidity misdemeanor, and they are facing charges next month on this misdemeanor charge for not paying attention to and allowing their child to get into a very I mean, this could have ended.
So basically,
this could have ended far, far worse.
Child abuse, child endangerment,
child endangerment. Yeah, that's
so. To the parents in the room, Dean, I know you've had this experience. When you are at an amusement park or the circus or an sporting event, and you look down and they're not there.
Oh my God! Panic.
That's the biggest fear in the world.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's happened to me. This is neglect, man.
Yeah.
This is just neglect.
But it's common neglect. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, like, here it is. We're about to start this season, I guess, and that's the lesson point, to be learned here. We're about to start the season. Put your damn cell phones away. Stick it away. You cannot look at your cell phone if you've got a child that's a year and a half old that's mobile but dumb.
Year and a half. You just started walking.
Yeah. Well, some of them. My granddaughter started when she's 9 months old.
Okay.
So, you know, put the phone away and keep your eyeballs on the kid.
It could have been so much worse.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Whew. All right, let's talk to Antoine on line one. Good morning, Antoine. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling because my daughter is a student at Morgan State in Maryland, and she went to ShopRite one day, I think back in March, and she was double parked outside ShopRite. Her friend was waiting in the car, and a piece of ice fell off the roof, and it went through her windshield. So it cracked her windshield and all that stuff. And when I was trying to, you know, get her windshield fixed through ShopRite, ShopRite said, oh, it's the owner's. They just leased the building, so you have to speak to the owner of the building. I spoke to the owner of the building, and their insurance got back to me and said that they weren't responsible for it. So I'm just trying to figure out what can I do about it, because I had to pay to get the windshield fixed, and it's like nobody wants to pay.
Yeah. So, all right. So the first question when you're analyzing something like this is who did something wrong? Who was negligent?
Well,
He
said something really important. He said they were double parked. I'm not really sure that they were actually in a legal parking space.
Would that matter? Would that?
It shouldn't.
Does that raise some comparative negligence? I don't know if it does. Here's my advice, okay? I'm gonna give you the time-honored advice. If it really were that important to you, how much is this windshield? What did you pay? What's your damages?
I had to pay $285 to get the windshield replaced.
Okay, so you got two parties who both say, not me. And so how do you handle a situation where two corporations are both giving you the heave-ho? Well, you could, if it were important enough, sue them. Mm. So how do you do that? Well, for $285, you go to small claims court. And so the smallest court in the land is usually called a district court, okay? And so every township has their own district court. So if you were in, let's say, Abington, Pennsylvania, there may be two district courts there. That township may be divided up into multiple district courts. In Philadelphia, we call that small claims court or municipal court.
Yeah.
We have one. And so you need to find the lowest court in the land that's wherever this is. Well, it's
Morgan State.
It's in a township, right? It's in a township in Maryland, and they're going to have a district court, and you're going to go there. You're going to take a day off of work. You're going to go there to file. Although maybe nowadays this stuff's done online, but you're going to have to go there to have your hearing at the very least, and you're going to sue both the owner of the building and the tenant. And you're going to claim in this lawsuit that one or both of them, one or the other or both, had a duty to clear the roof of ice and snow to prevent this type of a injury, loss. Now, you're going to take a day off of work. You may not win. The court may say, hey, we don't think they could have done anything differently. And there was no negligence. They had no duty to remove the ice and snow from the roof. Or they may say they, but more likely than not, if you take the time to do all that, these corporations will have to hire lawyers to go defend themselves. And they'll probably just say, this lunatic, we just don't want to be bothered by him. And they'll send you a check. That's kind of my thinking. But you're going to have to bring them to task for that to happen.
Okay.
And if they want to play with you, you may end up having to spend a day in some district court in Maryland. And so the question you have to ask yourself before you jump off and start this whole process is $285 worth it?
Yeah.
Are you one of those guys who are like, I don't care if it's $2.85. I want my money and you're going to pay me. If you're that guy, then
who was that guy?
That guy. No, that guy. No. Sometimes that guy's me. Sometimes that guy's me. Yeah.
Those are backroom meetings we don't see.
If you don't pay my client,
yeah,
with the cigar,
the $2.50
stays.
Sometimes that guy is that guy. You, Antoine? Is that guy you?
It's not worth it. With the price of gas going down there and coming back, it's not even worth it.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, anyway, at least I told you how it's handled, you know. And, yeah, you know, maybe next time if it's $1,285, it might be worth it.
Yeah.
Antoine, thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Saturday. Don't even start. Whatever you got, because you were late, you don't get to say it until after the other side of the break.
That's right.
You're on punishment. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
More legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yeah. Yes, sirree, Bob. We're back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning, right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
And YouTube Live. Welcome to our YouTube family. If you like what we do, like and subscribe. And tell your girlfriends and boyfriends and wives and husbands, you got to go check out Manny. Manny Manuel Glenn.
Yes, the man is on punishment. Come check me out. Live.
Really live. We were talking at the first half of the show about the parking garage collapse in South Philly at CHOP. And who might be to blame for that?
So much to unpack.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. And will some of that evidence be destroyed by the removal process? You know, they can't just grab the whatever they're taking out of there, dump it into a dump truck and drive away. Because
everything's got to be
everything has to be examined very slowly and carefully to see to find the evidence. There is evidence there. And it can't be destroyed.
The concrete itself could have been, I don't know, inadequate. Then the metal girders that go between the concrete, they could have been, I don't know, split or frayed. I mean, it's a lot to sift through, man.
But I think it's a really, really interesting point that you just can't demolish the whole structure.
Well, not when you have remains still there.
Well, not kinda even
like,
that.
Kind of like, remember not even that. September Before, 11th?
Even once you find these two gentlemen, and I hope that happens soon today, even when you find them, there is, at the very bottom of this pile, there will be evidence of the reason for its collapse. Yeah. And, you know, aside from the fact that there's going to be civil actions brought by the decedent's estates and their families, that you still don't want this to happen again. And so you need to get answers as to why it happened. And so, you know, these are preformed, precasted pieces that it's like a jigsaw puzzle that they put together.
Yeah.
It's not done on site.
Right.
And so there's obviously somewhere there was a defect to some part of this.
Like the design.
No, it might have been a design issue, and that'll be determined by the drawings and things of that nature. There may be a design issue.
Could be a foundation issue.
Could be a foundational issue. Could be one of these cast pieces had a defect in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an air, some huge air bubble or something.
Because they said it was a chain reaction type of.
Right.
From top to bottom.
Right.
And pancaked. It's. I mean, I poured concrete. I built big structures. The girders that you use sometimes, one girder, because they're all used and reused. It's cast steel, and it comes from someplace else. But one girder. There could be an inch fracture in it, and the rest of it could just collapse because of that, and you won't know it.
And more likely than not, that's something that was on a lower level, because once that support dropped, the next one followed, and so on. If it was a solid structure and it was a top piece that fractured, it probably would not have caused the entire collapse.
And now you got to get physics involved and all types of biometrics.
Engineers. X-ray machines.
That's expensive itself.
Just
the investigation.
The investigation is going to be very, very costly.
Now, who bears the brunt of the investigation? Who has to pay for that? Is that the city, the state? Where's that?
It's going to bill. Yeah.
Taxpayers?
It's going to be an interesting question. And maybe it is the taxpayers.
It will be the taxpayers.
Maybe it is CHOP. Maybe it is CHOP's insurance carriers. Because the carriers, you know, they want to put blame where blame is due, right? So they don't want to pay for something that somebody, forget about, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but putting aside the deaths for a moment, this garage is going to be rebuilt. More likely
we
than
think,
not.
But yeah.
They spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to get where they are today. Somebody's going to have to redo that. is the insurance company for the garage going to pay for that? Not if they don't have to. They're going to want the at-fault party to pay that bill. So the insurance company for the garage, the property itself, is going to want to undertake an investigation so they can determine who in the chain of building this was responsible for the loss, because they're the ones who are going to have to pay the cost to rebuild.
So is there going to be like dual investigations between the city and the insurance company? Yeah, and
everyone wants to have their investigator?
Yeah, usually there will be some cooperative agreement between all interested parties that they're all going to participate in this investigation. Let's talk to Darius on line two. Hi, Darius. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Okay. So my daughter is a personal chef down in Atlanta. So I was trying to figure out whether or not you guys can direct me to someone down in Atlanta. My daughter also had a part-time job at an establishment down there. She was sexually harassed, intimidated. She lost wages. It was a very hostile work environment. She would cry every day before going to work, but she had to make a living. And then she was ultimately fired.
From the part-time job?
Yeah, from the part-time job.
Not from her. She's also a personal chef, but
yeah.
In addition,
so she still did 40 hours. Yeah, in addition, so she still did 40 hours at this establishment, but she is a personal chef.
Okay, and has she documented whatever, you know, when we say harassment, you know, I need to know what exactly that is, and then the question is, has she documented that in any way with her managers or in the chain of command? And, you know, what evidence is there of harassment? How long did the harassment go on for?
Yes, he did speak to the executive chef about the harassment. She talked to the owners about what was going on. Then she started taking notes and bringing it to their attention.
Good.
I just wanted to say this.
Go ahead.
So being how can I say, culturally sensitive to the LGBTQ community, right? And also because they are of a different ethnicity, then that came into play, because they are, so all of that was just a lot for her. And she's been in the personal chef business for a long time. So she did document it.
Okay. Good, because that's really important in these kinds of cases. And usually in these cases, before you can bring a private civil action, there are steps that you have to go through in filing like a EEOC kind of complaint with the Employment Commission of that state. And so in Pennsylvania, there's the commission in Pennsylvania that you have to file with, and then they have to decide whether they're going to pursue it and on your behalf. And if they choose not to, then you have the right to pursue it privately. And yes, it's not an area that we focus our practice on, but we have a couple of attorneys and law firms that do that and do that well and exclusively in Pennsylvania. I need to find that party for you in Atlanta.
In Georgia.
Yeah. But, you know, Atlanta is Fulton County. It's a big county, and there's a lot of law firms down there that we are familiar with. And I would suggest you give us a call, or your daughter give us a call on Monday. My office doesn't like to talk to, and it's fine for Saturday for the court show, for the radio show, but we want to talk to the actual injured party. Mm-hmm. And so you have your daughter call us on Monday and ask for Jay Berger. And Jay will take a history from her and then reach out to a firm in Georgia, vet that firm, and then make that introduction for you.
Okay. And Berger, is it B-E-R-G-E-R?
That's it.
And what's his phone number? Or just call the same number?
The same number. You never have to call a different number. You just leave that number on your phone. 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal in the world.
Everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, guys, for all that you do. It's appreciated.
Take care, Darius. Have a great Saturday.
No, the naive in me wants to believe that if you were injured on a CHOP site, CHOP building, that CHOP would say, hey, don't worry about the medical costs. Don't worry about the – we got you. You know, we're liable. We understand. What? Come on in. We'll fix you up. Hey, it's our bad, right?
This is why your feelings are hurt all the time. This is the essence of your issue with life.
How do we get to the here?
Nobody cares about you, and nobody wants to take responsibility for you, and you've got to take the bull by the horns and call.
215-227-2727.
There you go, baby.
The number for all things legal.
There you go.
That boy's smart. That boy's smart.
He might get out of punishment today at some point. Let's talk to Lloyd on line 3. Oh, Lloyd, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, hello.
Hello to you. What's going on?
My wife sucked her. She fell at a resort in February.
Okay. You want to name names?
We was out for our 43rd anniversary at the Ocean Resort.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And what happened?
And she went to touch the thermostat, and she fell backwards.
She went to touch the what?
Thermostat. She was on Justin's
thermostat.
On getting a shower.
Okay.
But when she touched it, I guess she got a shock and she fell backwards.
Uh-huh.
We ain't think nothing of it. She said she couldn't walk. I picked up off the floor. We had the dinner reservations. I called for a wheelchair from the lobby.
Uh-huh.
They said they didn't have none available. Mm-hmm. And I escorted her down on the elevator and went there, and they gave me the chair. So I told them what happened, and we thought nothing of it. It was a nightmare. So anyhow, she goes back. I said, I won't be constant. We're not going to stay. I'm going to try to get out of there. I need a wheelchair ticket to my vehicle, and we're going to leave.
Did you play?
Sure.
Little slot machines?
No, we never even made a dinner. We had dinner reservation.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, what's your question?
She's been in rehab. She's still doing the rehab. She's been discharged from Cooper.
Mm.
She still has Viata. They signed a therapist, a nurse.
Mm.
Yeah. So these are going to be bills. We're both seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So the Medicare, whatever, it'll pay for so much, 80% or whatever.
Yeah. So here's my suggestion. You haven't told me that the Ocean did anything wrong, like that there was a defective condition which caused your wife's fall. So you need to have that in order to have a personal injury claim. You need that.
I thought with the resort.
You what?
And I never heard nothing back from them, the report.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's assume, because again, you haven't painted a picture. She's bending in probably an awkward way to get to the thermostat while she's in the shower, and she falls.
No, she didn't go to the shower. She was going to, just as she was going to get into the shower, she stumbled. Whatever happened, she stumbled. She fell backwards.
Okay.
Anyhow, she broke her bone. She had to go to surgery. She's still recuperating. I just dropped off at dialysis.
So again, when you have a claim, you have to have an injury. You have that, but you also need to have the negligence piece. For instance, there, you have to be able to identify what caused her to fall, and that whatever it is you're identifying has to be some defect that the building manager, owner knew about or should have known about and corrected. And so that's the part that, you know, you're talking about her, you know, leaning over to adjust the thermostat when she fell, and it doesn't sound like you know why she fell. But let me get to the point I'm trying to make here, and that is almost every property owner's policy has something called a med pay provision. The med pay provision is not dependent upon negligence. All you have to do is show that you were injured while on their property, and you're entitled to a certain amount of money for your out-of-pocket medical expenses. The ocean may have a med pay provision. That's the language you want to ask them to investigate. But first, gather up all of your bills, because you have, like, it sounds like most of your bills will be paid by Medicare. There may be 20% that you owe. Gather those little 20% up, come up with a number, a cumulative number, and present it to Ocean and ask them to have yourself reimbursed under their med pay, MEDPAY provision. And if there is such coverage on their policy, they will offer that up regardless of whether they're at fault. And even homeowners' policies will often have a med pay provision. So if you fall in my house, even over your own 2 feet, and you're injured, you may be entitled to have $1,000 or $5,000. They're not big policies, but there's something there. And Ocean may have that policy as well. Lloyd, check that out. Gather your medical records. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Saturday.
You too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ursula, line 2. Hi, Ursula. I think you might be the first Ursula
Have a great name. Yeah. Great name.
That's why I grabbed that call, because she's the very first in 15 years of Court Radio taking callers. This is my very first Ursula. Ursula.
Yes.
All right.
I had to embrace that name.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, you need to.
Well, my issue is with the Philadelphia Parking Authority. I know, right? My car was stolen 3 years ago, and I was very upset about it, of course, and I was without a car, and I really needed a car, so I just forgot about the car, whatever. And then, just recently, I started getting tickets for the missing car, and I was like, okay, what a ticket, a parking ticket. And so I said, while I had these parking tickets, I didn't understand why am I getting a parking ticket on a stolen vehicle. But the plate, they had put dummy plates on the car, but the parking meter person had took a picture of the VIN number in the car. And so, of course, they traced it back to me, and I've started receiving the tickets. And so I went down to the parking authority with a police report telling them that the car was stolen years ago. And then when I get there, I can't get in touch with a judge. I can't get anyone. I can't get any help whatsoever. I was told to fill out some form to go down the street and drop it in a black box, and a judge or someone will get back to me about this issue. And so I filled the form out. I did that. I waited. A month later, I'm getting more parking tickets on these cars, on his car. And now this time they took the car and they towed it, and they want me to pay for the tows and everything. And then they told me they're selling the car.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Did you have insurance on that car back in the day when it was stolen?
that it had lapsed when it had gotten stolen because it was sitting for a while when I was looking for another vehicle.
Wow.
But
so you didn't get compensated. Yeah. So you were never compensated for the car.
Not for that car. No.
Is that you've had more than one car stolen?
No.
Okay.
No, I have more than one car.
Okay. Yeah. So you weren't compensated for the car. Does the car have any value? I mean, is it something you'd want to?
Yeah, it did. It was a 2016 Lincoln. And
what's it worth today?
Well, not even that.
Here's
the interesting question. The interesting question is she did a police report, right? So when you do a stolen car police report, they actually look for the car and then they I'm an expert.
And
they're supposed to advise the person that the car was stolen from that they found the car. And then they towed the car to where they're, you know, to one of their lots, and then you pick that car up. All right. The police are supposed to tow the car.
That's what the police told me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, none of this happened.
No, because somebody was using the car for a while, probably.
Yeah, someone had taken the car and been using it. It's been missing 3 years, and the tickets are coming to me.
But I'm just saying that if this car is available in a tow lot somewhere and you can go back and get it and then sell it, would you make more money by getting the car, selling it, and then paying the tickets? Let's just assume you did. So I'm just, you know, do you want them to sell your car or do you want to get it and then sell it yourself and take the money and use that to, you know, because you didn't get compensated for the car. So, I mean, if the car has value, if it's worth $5,000, but you have $1,000 worth of tickets, that means you got $4,000 sitting there as a practical matter. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you go get it?
Yeah, they won't return. I can't seem to get in touch with a judge. I filled out another form and went back to see if I could get somebody to talk to me.
Wow.
And
I'm still
waiting.
Yeah.
It's almost like insult on top of injury. I'm the victim and I'm being victimized again.
This sounds like you need some political clout. You know, I would call your state representative or Manny Manuel Glenn, and I would have some politician get involved in this. That sounds like that's what this needs.
Yeah,
needs a politician, right?
A state politician at best.
Yeah,
there are some city folks that could handle you, but the parking authority is run by the state.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I'd call your state representative's office and explain the situation to them on Monday.
Yep,
we got to take a quick break, Ursula. My first, and I'm sorry for your lost car, but I appreciate your call. It was an interesting conversation. Have a great Saturday, dear.
Okay, thank you.
Tactics, take us out, folks. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, We will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
We're back. We're live. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host, every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
We've been talking about the CHOP parking garage collapse. We hope and pray that today they find the remains of the two iron workers who are still missing. And that they get to the bottom of it, literally and figuratively, that we need to know why this building collapsed, this structure. We need to know who's responsible for it.
There is a big press conference as soon as we get off the air at Vare Recreation Center on 26 and Moore. All city officials, state involved, all concerned parties. We may get the answers then during that press conference.
You're not going to get the answers.
No, you're
then.
Not going to get the
and
answers.
And see, that's,
the answers.
There's people demand answers too quickly. So I say you want a thorough job. You want it properly done. You want to make sure we get answers. I have your back there. But don't demand them so quickly that you get the wrong answers.
Right.
Okay. And then the other issue or the other topic we talked about today was parents being charged for child endangerment, a misdemeanor in Pennsylvania, for not watching their 1.5-year-old who was up against the fence at the wolf exhibit at Zoo America in Hershey Park while those boneheads were sitting 25 or 30 feet away on a bench, relaxing, watching their feed on their phones.
They had to be young, too. He's 1.5 years of age. They're probably young parents, like teens or 20-somethings.
Yeah, only this idiot has a child when he's 50, so yes. I love you, Sophia Weitzman.
Oh, boy.
I love you. No, I would never do it differently, honey. Last night, Soph and I were watching a movie on the deck.
Movie night.
Yeah,
on the deck.
Saul 10.
Saul 10.
Saul X. Saul 10. Sounds it's a movie where people, bad people, are put into restraints, and then they have a really horrible way of getting out, like they have to break their hand or something, otherwise they get killed. It's a horror.
Sounds like it.
What a love story.
So romantic, you two.
It's her. She loves that stuff.
What in the chick flick is going on?
I don't know. I'm raising a serial killer.
Was it a good movie?
Yeah. Well, I fell asleep a little.
You fell asleep.
10 minutes into it. But then I woke up, and then she caught me up. She said, "Dad, where did you fall asleep?"
This is cute.
Anyway, these two parents,
How do you even let them have that child again? I mean, should there be another type of punishment?
But, no, I
don't know.
It's a misdemeanor. They're not going to jail, but will they learn something from it?
I hope
so. Thank God the child wasn't seriously injured. And this is a life lesson. Folks, we're just about out of time. I really appreciate everybody on YouTube who've watched through this. And if you have any topics you'd like us to discuss in upcoming shows, post them online for me. How do you like that, Carly? I just slid that in there. And we're gonna dedicate that show that you want us to talk about to you.
Nice.
We'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place.
paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.